You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Ronnie McMullen, welcome to Radiant Creators. I'm jazzed to have you on. I saw you on with Rex on the Lake Project, and also with on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Oh, I should say I listened to you there. So you're an inspiring character. So we like to here at Radiant Creators, we interview inspiring people to inspire others. And so you've definitely got a lot of inspiration. And I really liked when you were talking to Rex Baer about your visions of Earth evolution, Earth changes, and health. You know that. This world's definitely changing right now. And you guys had, it was only about a 16-minute interview you guys had the last one with Rex, I think. So it's like, yeah, it's like it got cut off or something, or
somebody. Yeah, we got interrupted. So, you know,
yeah,
when you get on good stuff, you always get interrupted.
Yeah, it seems that way. Now it's just a great, you guys are really going somewhere with that. And I like how, so you seem to be a Jedi warrior that drives a 780 horsepower Subaru near Sedona.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a 780 horsepower GTO, but
GTO.
Yeah, Rex has got the Subaru. So, but yeah, I'm kind of a car buff. I like the cars.
Wow. Well, Arizona's the place to have them. So,
yes.
It's great to interview you. And I was thinking, like, where do I start? How do I go? What do we do? I got a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask, but if we could start, I mean, tell us about a little bit about you, because you are an inspiring character, of course, Ronnie McMullen, and you've got Drink the Tea, and you're making some, or I should say, getthetea.com. Yep. And you put out some amazing projects, amazing, not projects, but amazing products, and you've even written some books. So who is this guy, Ronnie?
Well, I used to be many years ago a preacher, and was very, very much organized religion and very boxed, and taught people to get in the box. And it was very prison-like. And then about that time, in the midst of the end of, middle of my ministry, I started a radio show. And I was out of Denver, Colorado, had a 50,000-watt radio show. And all the so-called Christians hated me. I had a following that loved me because I was really kind of outside of the box. And here I'd been inside the box with this organized religion. So that spread to another show, which ended up being called UFO Encounters Live, which was way out of the box. But I still grabbed that Christian piece of it to kind of mold the two together, which they don't mold together very well. But I was trying to do the best I could do. And then I had an interview. Well, I had quite a few interviews, and they, I remember this one interview that just blew my mind. And the one interview, the man told me, he says, "You believe in Jesus Christ as your personal savior?" And I said, "Oh yes, blah, 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 blah." And he goes, "Well, when you find out the truth," he says, "just be prepared. It's not the way they wrote it." And that's all he said. And I said, "Pardon me? Excuse me? What'd you say?" And he says, "The way they wrote it is different than the way it is. So just know that." And that kind of started getting me out of the box. And then I interviewed a senator's wife, and she made a comment that really kind of pulled me out of the box too. She said, "Ronnie, do you believe in hell?" And I said, "Well, yes. Thus, for all the bad people have done bad things and still had that organized religion cape on." And she says, "Well, do you think that God is all loving?" And I said, "Well, yes, absolutely." So she said, "Well, then answer me this, if you would. How can an all loving God, an all forgiving God that tells us to follow in forgiveness and love, burn people up in hell when they don't do what he wants them to do?" I had no answer. And that was the beginning of, it's time to get out of the box. It's time to go a different direction. because Christianity had a lot of flaws. Doesn't mean there's no God, but just had a lot of flaws that could not be explained. And this went even deeper with the Catholic Church hiding many of the books that are in the Bible, the 1611 version of the King James, you know, and I always thought that was funny too. King James Version. The Bible is a version of King James. Okay, something wrong with there. So there was just many things. And so then that took me to a place where you might get the Jedi idea, where you have the power of creativity. There is definitely God, and I am, but it's different than what we're taught. And is the what we're being taught is literally taking our power away from us, versus if we grasp another dimension and understand how the powerful of our minds and the GPS system that God or innate intelligence has put into us, we already know these things. And so we know things that God is telling us because there's a communication, and they and them that I'll call them that are running this world, they want to imprison us or delete us or, downsize the population. So anyway, this got me thinking, and now I try to teach people to the best way to go without going organized religion.
Oh, I like it. And so people are definitely getting crazier these days. And I think this reality is starting to shake up a little bit. You know, we're getting, it's a time of change, at least in my opinion. It's you look around, you can see people are getting a little bit more unstable, a little bit more crazy. It seems that those who are aware, they have this center, this spiritual certainty, are evolving very quickly. And then people who don't are really falling into a sort of projected, like a consensus reality fear projection. It seems like we really are at a crossroads here of maybe many dimensions, you might say. But how do you feel about the craziness? Do you feel a certain psychic weather shakeup on the planet?
Yeah, there's obviously a huge we'll call it the fear energy that is really going all around the globe. Let's start with the coronavirus. Everybody's scared that this is going to be a pandemic, blah blah blah. It's first state emergency, blah blah blah. It's fear. They created the virus, they created the vaccine. They're waiting for the vaccine to come out because they want everybody to buy it immediately. So they're going to pump up the virus and then pump that up so that everybody gets scared, so that when they say, oh, by the way, we now have the antidote, everybody will rush in and buy it. And this is how they get. And most people, if you go wind back to the Spanish flu days, everybody that took the vaccine died. So that kind of gives you an idea where, and this is not even counting the cortisol that's being released in your body, and you're becoming chemically imbalanced by the fear that you chase after. And believe it or not, I had a show that was called UFO Encounters, and I went to the truth. I mean, so it wasn't always fun and games on that radio show. I ended up starting another show called The Ronnie McMullen Show, and that was just a spiritual, feel-good, Jedi training kind of fun thing. Guess which one had more followers? UFO Encounters Live.
Fear. Yeah.
Every single time would 10 to 1. It'd be a 10 to 1 ratio. And I was like, people maybe don't want the Jedi. They want the fear. It's addictive. It's like a chocolate milkshake. It's addictive, and they want that. So it kind of frustrated me. And anyway, I retired about a year and a half ago, and now I just do guest appearances on other shows.
Well, the fear energy, Eckhart Tolle called that, of course, the pain body, and how we have this addiction to the pain body. And then the pain body is actually, some think a living being, like a living presence. Like Rudolf Steiner called it Ahriman, this like being that's willfully like pulling the energy out of this dimension to make another one out of the material and the psychic energy. So consensus projected fear reality, that it's really addicting. I mean, it's like smoking cigarettes. It's like probably heroin. I don't know what heroin is like, but it seems like an incredibly addictive
Oh, it's fear. It's fear porn. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I got to have it. Got to have it, you know, and I just got some and I need some more. Yeah, absolutely. But they don't know the really detriments of what they're doing. And that's, you know, forgive me, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the exact same thing, you know, because they don't know what's what, you know, that they go and they keep drinking up this fear. They don't know that they're becoming chemically imbalanced. They don't know that their belief systems are changing and they're not changing for the good. Did you know that coronavirus will kill us? Really? You know, if you really have a strong belief system, you can go in the midst of the coronavirus and never catch the virus. That's how powerful the brain can be. But nobody wants to practice that. Everybody wants to practice the fear. And if you practice the fear, you literally can bring the coronavirus right to you. You'll end up shaking the hand of the guy in Washington and catch the coronavirus. So, I mean, we have to be careful how we think. And it's huge. I mean, you can bring anything to you and you can push things away. It's all how you think.
Yeah. And being a Jedi warrior, when you mention that, it just reminds me of Minas Tirith Goats. That movie, yeah, you know what I mean? Like they were becoming Jedis again, you know? Well, emotions are an essential aspect of health. So in a sense, people's health is going down the tubes. I mean, along with there being a certain, you know, radical psychic weather these days in, you know, many levels, many different directions, many, many ways, humanity seems a little bit confused. Well, with that, you need your health, you need your power, you need your grounding, you need like your strong body, mind, and spirit. And it does seem that the fear porn knocks us out of that equilibrium. It takes you from here where you have your strength, your power, your health, you can create, this is where your creative center is. And then it puts you, it just pulls you out over here into that fear zone where you're defenseless. You're just pretty much a jellyfish in the ocean, just going with the currents, not a bone in your back. You know, no real will to create with.
Well, we're supposed to be made in the image of God. And so if we're made in the image of God, if we're truly the sons and daughters of God, then we are somewhat a God ourselves if we understand it. But most people get scared of those kind of terms, especially Christianity, because they can't handle being a God because they're afraid of the power. They're afraid of, you know, misusing it. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be the all-knowing God, just, you know, each one of us being all-knowing God, but basically sons and daughters. So if we carried a rich man's name and he was a prominent businessman, then we would want to kind of be acting like that. So point being is, if God is all loving and all caring, all knowing, we should kind of be in the same mode as following that. And if we follow those kind of things, it'd be surprising what you can do. You know, there is an energy in love. People miss that. In fact, Hollywood has changed the idea of love. Love is basically having sex. That is not love. So there is an energy in love. There's an energy in forgiveness. There's an energy in giving. People don't realize this, you know, they give to, you know, some major corporation and that's for a write-off. That's not really giving. But when you're in the grocery store and somebody is having a hard time paying their grocery bill and you're right behind them and you have the money to do it, pay it forward, pay that grocery bill and see what happens. And that energy that is released is something that you can't tap into on a normal plane. So we have to realize that there are different planes, different levels that we can go to, and we have to grasp those upper levels because most people are not. Let's look at our creative mind. The right side of the brain is hardly used anymore because the technology has replaced the right side of the brain. So all we're running on is the mechanical side, which is the left side, and we wonder why we're dying because that is not the Jedi side. The Jedi side is the right side. It's when you can project. It's when you can pull back. It's when you can visually see without seeing and hearing without hearing. And we are not tuned into that, nor do we practice that anymore. And they and them know that. They know all the specialties of spirituality, but they just don't want to tell us because they want to take our power away.
And then how would you define they and them?
They and them are the families that run this world. And they are families. It's not the president of the United States. It's not Netanyahu. They just think they're running this country. They're not running the country. They're just pawns. They're little puppets. Hi, how are you? I'm Mr. Trump. And before that was Barack Obama. You know, and that's all they are. Mm-hmm. Where if we realize that these families are running, and what's really, this is why they love war, because war downsizes population. War makes money. This is why, and there's two words that I've always said that should never go together. Holy and war.
War. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really fit together too well. And then, you know, behind those families, I've always looked at, they always seem like a unique bunch. They're not exactly human. You know, I oftentimes look at, and their servants are not exactly either, especially after a long time. I look at a lot of the old, like, people in our Senate here in America, you know, who've been there like, what, 87 years since like since 1710. I mean, ridiculous. They've been there forever. And they literally, it appears that especially as they get old, the older they get, they become very rigid and very just physically nasty, just, and they almost just get wheeled out in a chair by a staff, you know, that kind of props them up, gives them a shot of adrenaline in the heart, then like one in the brainstem, kind of wakes them up a little bit, and here's your prompter, say this, and they, and they just, they put them back in the closet on life support after that. So it seems that that they really are, that the families as you speak of, and those who really directly serve them, they're not exactly human to me. Or somehow there is the, something you mentioned in talking to Rex Baer was that, see if I can find it here. Well, anyway, the idea is that somebody who is willing to be used by those dark forces is always a very unique person to me. You know, there's like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's a being willing to be used like that. And really, we can start off with Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Most of the actors and actresses and musicians, they start out to be really cool, normal people, but they kind of have to sign on an imaginary dotted line that says, you know, they're going to give their soul up for fame and fortune. And this is why you have a lot of one-hit wonders. I mean, if you look at some of the music out there that's being played, it's not even music. But if they play it enough times, people go, oh, I like that. And so now they're pushing everything in Hollywood that what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And, you know, if even to the point, if you're following President Trump, then you're a racist, you know. And this is all coming out of Hollywood, which is, by the way, Hollywood is completely controlled by the CIA. So if you realize that this is really just a major government project, then you have to sign on certain dotted lines to get part of the pie. And this is why you'll see a lot of the actors and actresses and even the musicians, and they're all of a sudden involved in politics. And you go, what is this? You know, you made $3 million on your last movie, but you're talking against Trump, or you're talking and saying Barack Obama is the best thing that ever was, or you're saying Hillary Clinton, oh, I love her. You know, I danced with her on the last dance floor, you know. What are you talking about? And this is really because it's being pushed from Hollywood, which is being pushed from CIA, which is being pushed from Black Ops.
Yeah. And then when you mentioned Black Ops, and I think about the intelligence agencies and then who's behind them. And then you get into, if you've ever read Joseph Farrell, he's quite the historian, and you look at how many pieces and interests that actually have created the intelligence agencies, you know, and you go, whoa, you know, like one thing I think that people don't always realize is you look at World War II and you look at the end of World War II, the Nazis didn't lose, they left. And so you look at that, and that's just one dark organization that exists in the world that realized that, well, countries are too much trouble. We'll just go deeper and run the show from back here, and we won't even use borders. We're just going to work everybody against each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And what kind of mind is that that does that?
Psychopathic, not human.
I mean, if it's human, it's very dark, that's for sure. But, you know, and the question is, you know, and I've wondered this. I believe that maybe innate intelligence is not just light, but light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's light and dark, you've got to go through the dark to get to the light. I just wonder if some people get lost. And I think they and them are pretty lost. they can't get out of the dark, and they you know, or they like it, or, you know, I guess some people like little moldy buildings, but, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Yeah. There seems to be a certain type that enjoys the dark side. It welcomes it. Certain people welcome that in. It's kind of like Darth Vader, you know, if you only knew the power of the dark side. And it's like, well, but look at you. I mean, you're a mess. Yeah. You know, you work for a mean guy, you hurt people. I mean, yeah, the power of the dark side. That's great. You know? Well, it does, along those lines, something that you did mention, I was listening to you when you're talking to Rex, and I like this great line that you came up with. He said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but basically, God is not so interested in the machine human, prefers the organic human. It's like basically our source doesn't really want to connect to technology. It wants to connect to something organic. And I've often thought that there's something happening in the world where, especially with cell phones, you know, especially with computers, of course, but now cell phones, everybody's kind of, you know, transhuman now. There's this analog versus a digital life. And I find that I have to, at this point in time, thank heavens I'm a little older, and I remember, you know, button boxes for cable and rotary phones and building a fort and throwing dirt at each other. Thankfully, I did these things when I was young, because I realized some people, they don't even have those experiences. Right. But an analog versus a digital life, it seems that the digital life, the phone, the technology, et cetera, all of which can be very useful, really are not the organic life of the body, of the senses, of feeling, of nature, that is where we really feel alive. And as in, like, old, I think European Christianity would say, there's no way for God to see you when you're in the digital experience.
Interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting. I think it is my understanding, and, you know, who has all great understanding, I don't know. I'm just learning. But I believe that the innate intelligence, which we'll just use God for a shorter version here, there is a GPS system built into us to get us home. Make it simple here. We'll do the sixth grade version. To get us home. And these computers are the distraction. And they offer lots of good stuff. It's kind of like Pinocchio, you know. You're offered the beer and the stogie and the pool tables, and it's all good. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got a tail. And then the next thing you know, you've got big ears. And the next thing you know, you got a big nose. And so, you're gonna pay a price. I mean, I have fought, and this is really the same thing with disease. If you look at disease, they're herding the sheep into the hospitals or into the urgent cares. And they're saying, you say, oh, I have diabetes, I have MS, I have cancer, I have this, I have that, whatever it is that you've got. And so you go in, and then what they do is they give you pills, or they give you surgeries, and they cut on you, and they do all these things. But you really don't get better. You just survive. It's really not better, like you have 100% quality life. It's just you survive. But one of the things that goes on is they're killing your brain. And most people don't understand this, is when you get herded into an urgent care or a hospital or whatever, and you have X disease, okay? There's no, how do you reverse this disease? That none of that is talked about. What's talked about is how do we live with the disease? What can we do to survive the disease? I am not just into survival. To me, I think you can reverse it. And if you can reverse it, and this goes back to the placebo effect. If you look at the placebo effect and the power of the placebo effect, it's really reversing the problem that's going on in your body. So why can't we do this on a bigger level with our mind? But we can't, because it's, again, the power has been taken away from us. If you look at a disease and type it in on Google, how to reverse MS, the first thing that pops up is, you can't reverse MS. How do I reverse cancer? First thing that pops up, you can't reverse cancer. So, but the kicker is, yes, you can. You can do anything you want. And then you say, well, what does that mean? Well, you have to change time. Well, I can't change time. Really? Tell your mind that. Your mind has no clock. So if your mind has no clock, how do you change time? You do. You can change time. So it's very interesting, but it's all in how we believe our belief systems. And this is really what Jesus came to earth to do. I'm about my Father's work. He wasn't about his own work. He was about his Father's work. And look what he did. Look at the miraculous. And the miraculous, there's another key funky thing too. What is a miracle? A miracle is a lack of faith. Because you don't know. So in other words, you say, I'm gonna just sit here and meditate for 10 minutes. I have type 2 diabetes. And as soon as I'm done with my 10 minutes of meditating, I'm gonna take my blood and see what it is. So you take that blood and you meditate for 10 minutes. You've got a couple people watching you. And then all of a sudden you take your blood and you're completely in the normal range. And somebody says, that's a miracle. No, that's you didn't know. You lacked knowing. And that became a miracle to you. And the miracles were, these are normal things for Jesus. So what was Jesus? The supposed Son of God. So what are we? Sons and daughters of God. So what can we do? It shouldn't be about miracles. It should be just like Luke Skywalker. You're glad I'm here. Yes, we're glad you're here. What is that? Mind over mind, mind over matter. And these are things that we need to be practicing if we really want to step up to the game.
Because really, miracles are just a technology that seems miraculous to us. I guess you could say miracles really should be natural. And that's something I believe that humanity is working towards and getting at. I mean, those who are on that path are realizing that, well, it's even as Jesus said, like all I've done and more, you know, you will do. And so really, it's almost like that race where they pass the bar, the little baton, you know? Yep. Yep. You kind of passed it. Now you got it. Okay. Now what are you going to do? And then what can you pass on that someone can do even more?
Exactly.
So it's almost like really, you could almost say Jesus should be our starting point. That's where, you know what I mean? All that, that's where we should start. That was, I think.
But here's what's wild. So we start with Jesus. That's where I disagree. And not to disagree with you,
but
just to say, I don't agree with that. And here's why. Because it didn't start with Jesus.
Mm.
Wind the clocks back. It started with Noah. It started with Moses. It started with King David. I mean, think about this, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to the macho guys that are out there, that are weightlifters, that are builders. You're strong. You're macho. I mean, holy cow. I'd like to see you go in and take on a bear. I'd like you to see you go on and take on a male lion. Okay? And what's my point to this is that would be what we call a miracle. Or would it be?
I get it. Oh, well, I guess if you, you know, truly walked into that, that brawl by faith and not by sight.
And not even by faith, by knowing.
By knowing.
By knowing. Mm. And here's another thing. So, and this, you know, Neville teaches this. So here's another thing. So let's talk about Daniel in the lion's den. How the heck could he be thrown in lion's den and pull that off? He didn't kill him either. So he's changing time. He's changing time. And those, you know, so basically when he changes times, he's not even looking at being in the lion's den. He's in another place. So if he's in another place, are the lions actually truly looking at Daniel? Or are they looking at a hologram?
Mm. I like it. Well, when you mention manifestation and, you know, changing time, that'd be fun if we could go into that a little bit, because I mean, I'm a firm believer and I have the experience. I mean, I've done it enough and it's working enough that now I start to have knowledge. I don't quite have it down completely yet, but I'm getting better at it. Really, it's manifesting. I mean, we do have inspiration as to why we're here. I mean, to me, the purpose of life is to pursue your interests. And then whatever you're supposed to do for the greater good, I would almost guarantee it's within your interests. If you do what excites you, if you follow that, follow your bliss, like the great Joseph Campbell said, not only will doors open for you, you'll find your service to humanity. It's kind of built in. And so what are your methods for manifestation, for actually changing time? Because it seems like on the spiritual path, that's one of the things we got to figure out to make life easy enough that we can go deeper. It's really hard to be spiritual when you're suffering.
Yes, yes.
So you got to make life easy, and then you can really get started, I believe.
Well, again, I think it's practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, and nobody out there is, you know, hitting home runs every time they go up to bat. It's not happening. We can say that, you know, but I remember in the old days with the preachers coming in, hallelujah, oh, praise God, huh? You know, and they'd make it sound like if you didn't get healed on that moment that they touched you, you were a moron. Mm-hmm. And this is not the way it is, okay? Practice makes perfect. So when you practice, okay, and you got to practice things like it's really about imagination, okay? It's really about the right side of the brain and using the right side of the brain. So with the right side of the brain, you have to imagine. So you imagine yourself in a different time zone. You imagine, it's basically like revising. So something that happened to you that maybe is a trauma, you revise that. You forget and you forgive everybody that maybe caused that trauma to you. You forget about it and you move on. And that alone will start changing your body and changing the cells in your body. And things that'll also change time. So what happens is all of a sudden, that's really not inside of you. It didn't happen because you revised it. You said, okay, here's, and maybe this is what the forgiveness of sins is you're sitting there and you're forgetting, okay, because some people say, well, if I had a trauma done to me, how can I, you know, how can I forget that? How can I forgive the person that did that to me? Well, if you're holding on to that, you're actually holding on to disease. Even though that was done to you and you were innocent, you're holding on to that disease because they diseased you with a trauma, with an issue that wasn't yours to have. And how many kids have grown up with some traumas? There's a bazillion of them. So how do we beat this? How do we beat this system, which is now causing, if you look at the emotional trauma is causing the disease. So if we get rid of the emotional trauma, we get rid of the disease. We're changing time.
Mm. And it does seem that when we're doing that in kind of the zero point time where we're everywhere at once, you could say this moment, really you are changing the past and the future. I mean, yep. It's almost like you could, and that's how we can manifest, I believe, because we can just basically from this moment, we just become, we feel the future that we want. And then of course, well, there it is. You know, it's funny. It's like the future seems as real as our past. We just don't realize that we're creating the future also, not just experiencing the now and the past is gone.
Right.
You know, right. We live in all of it and it's fluid. It's not, well, it's not
time
linear.
Is like a ball of string. And when you take a ball of string and you wrap it and you just keep wrapping it, because if you keep wrapping it in one direction, it will not be a ball, it'll become a football. And pretty soon it's off and then all the string falls off. So if you're always turning the ball as you wrap it, okay, imagine that string pulled out straight is time. So does time cross over our paths many other times to where it's, is it future? Is it past? Is it now? What really is that? And so that's the key, is how we have to see time, which means we can change time just by reversing how the ball is being wound. Mm. So with this, we understand that these traumas as a child, we can reverse it, fix it, and go back. And when we forget, then all of a sudden trauma has not got a hold of us anymore. And then things change. And then our cells change, our body changes, our mind changes, and our mind strengthens. Because think about it, when we have a knowing in our brain and a knowing in our mind, we don't need kudos from somebody else. When we know, we start seeing the weakness of others. And we're either able to help them or just come alongside of them. You know, most of the time I see people and they want to immediately train me. Oh, yeah, let me teach you how to do this and teach you how to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I never asked for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how many times do you see somebody come up as right beside you and say, you know, I know you're going through a hard time. You know, if you want to talk, I'm there. If you just want to sit and watch TV or you just want to, you know, whatever, I'm there. That is more powerful any day of the week than being taught something.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think our presence is underestimated. You know,
very.
You don't have to do anything, just your presence. And really, maybe that's the most you have to offer. Stuart Wilde, very eclectic, you know, spiritual character from the past, he said that he called people the unknown sages, that there's these unknown sages that walk around without any deliberate effort, just healing people, just, you know, improving the world just because of their presence. They're so radiant that they just, their presence, they walk by somebody in the supermarket and that person's healed of cancer. And they, and so I think that's really it. As we do cultivate our own presence, then, I mean, I think that's really it, you know, because then when you do just sit with somebody and watch TV, because it's almost like that takes the ego out of it, that takes the self-grandeur out of it.
At least it takes it down into a normal range. Ego's tough because this is what most, you know, some of the greatest healers were caught up in ego and they couldn't, their own body was broken and diseased while they're healing other people of their disease. And you say, well, what's with that? So it's kind of life is interesting. That's one thing about it. I will say that life is interesting.
Oh, definitely. Well, one of the things that you're mentioning on when you're talking to Rex was about earth changes. You know, there could be a solar flash, a coronal mass ejection, pole shift, whatever. There's so many crazy things. Like, we know there's kind of a grand solar minimum going on. We know there's more cosmic rays. But in a sense, it does appear, and it's kind of where you guys got cut off, is that, sure, maybe we have increased cosmic rays. Maybe the Schumann resonance is going crazy. The KP index is at zero a lot, so we have all kinds of radiation hitting us. But that would make sense given the craziness that we see out there. But also, isn't this a time of evolutionary leaps? Because I oftentimes feel a little bit jittery. I go, oh my gosh, I can feel the intensity of the energy. And I go, well, I'm ready to explode into my light body, whatever, you know, I'm ready for anything. I feel like we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
So yeah, where do you think we're at and where are we going with the cosmic weather being off the charts, basically the space weather?
I think we're getting close to a great change. Many shows are, this is the end of times, and I don't believe in the end of times. I used to teach the end of times, used to train for the end of times, but I don't believe in that anymore. I think we're living in a simple, we'll go sixth grade version again. We're living in a circle. Mm-hmm. The circle starts at the top, goes down to the bottom, and it comes back to the top. We're at the top. We've already made the circle. Okay. So now what happens now? Oh, that's the end of the world. So there's only one O? No, I don't think so. We're full of O's. Oh, no, so just kidding. So basically, I think we're beginning a new era and technology's not cutting it. Is this why Atlantis failed? Maybe not. But it's going to be our failure. And I think, you know, all it takes is one good war, satellites come down and we don't have all our technology. You know, I used to tell people on shows, you know, we're not going to have an EMP bomb. And they'd be like, why do you not think an EMP bomb would ever be possible? Because it would take down their technology just like it would take down our technology. And they wouldn't know where we are. So that would be not good for them. So again, surveillance is at its top right now. They know what we do. They're listening to this conversation right now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a man, okay? It's not a human being listening to this conversation. It's a computer. And it's a computer, you know, and this intelligence that's going on and this artificial intelligence, that might be the takeover of our Earth, but it won't be the end of times. It just might be the end of humanity because, and then after that, then there'll be like turn on themselves and there'll be isolation. So I think we've got some really cool things, but I think God's getting ready to do something really super spectacular, like off the charts, in awe, oh my God, OMG moments, you know. I think that's right around the corner. And the reason I believe that is because if everything stopped and went to, I'm not sure what normal is. I think normal's just a word. But let's just say normal for that kind of idea. I think it's too late to change the atmosphere. It's too late to change the water. It's too late to change the things that really need to be changed. I mean, you look at, you know, and then let's just use something very simple. What if animals could talk and you went to a zoo and the zookeepers call it enclosures because they don't like the word cage, but it's the same word. So what if the bear said, look, I'm going crazy because I didn't do anything and I'm in a cage? Or a bird saying, I'm in a cage and I'm supposed to fly. I'm supposed to be free. What if we advanced those thoughts and all of a sudden the animals could talk and the animals could do great things and we were the ones in the cages? And the animal came up and said, oh, by the way, that's not a cage. That's an enclosure. How many people would, you know, it would change things. So point being is God loves all things. He created the animals and the humans. So something really in awe is coming because I don't think we can fix ourselves. We shot ourselves in the foot too much. And I don't think we can walk anymore. So what does that mean? Does that mean our GPS systems inside our hearts going to go off? Our souls are going to connect? What does that mean? Are we going to, you know, completely lose our body here and our souls are caught up? I mean, the Bible people believe in a so-called rapture, which is not even in the so-called scriptures. They just made it up. You cannot even find rapture in the New Testament. But they all believe they're going to get caught up with God, with the sun, and they're going to go up. And, you know, and I'm just thinking, really? You know, that people believe this stuff and we're getting caught in these beliefs. Beliefs are killing our politics right now. Beliefs are a part of the impeachment trial. Beliefs are, and people's beliefs have gone off kilter. I mean, we don't even have morals anymore. We just, morality is shot. So I think it's too late. And now it's time to where, you know, maybe God, if he has a head, is shaking his head back and forth going, you guys, I gave you everything you need and you jacked it up. So I've got to step in and do something. And this goes to even the watchers, because there's good watchers that are truly underneath God's power and they can't step in, but there's going to be a time that maybe they can. And so this is, I mean, we've almost completely nuked ourselves and blown up the earth. I don't know how many times where they've come in and they've had to save it. So I think we're getting ready for the awe time, whatever that means, because darkness is kind of imploding. That would be my thoughts.
No, it makes sense. There's kind of a modern day, well, a modern philosopher, a guy named Neil Kramer, and he put it, and he's been, well, a study of Hermeticism and the Bible and many things for, you know, quite a while. And he puts it like this when it comes to this age coming to an end, or there being a cataclysm. He doesn't quite see it like that. He sees the earth as, it was created for a specific reason, for those souls on it to understand polarity and duality, and that it's coming to an end. That lesson has been learned for those that will understand it. And so the earth, this plane, was created for a purpose, and now it is done. So good and evil, you know, what is good, what is evil? I do believe there's right and wrong and good and evil, and that it's become clear to all. So you choose which side you're on. No one's disillusioned anymore. This is his idea. I was running to buy it to see what you think. And he says, now it's time for those who have earned their soul, who have that self-awareness, to go to the next level. Like, they don't have to die. They just go to the next level of existence for a human. And then those who don't, who haven't like owned their soul, who didn't put the work into it, who choose not good but evil ultimately, to turn away from their own soul, from God, to just return to God. You just get dissolved into the love, into God. You know, if you don't make this evolution, you just get that individuality of that soul just returns to God. So everybody's happy in the end. I mean, since you have a biblical background, how does that kind of jive with you? How does that sound?
Okay. So I do have a biblical background, but I try not to keep that.
Because, I understand.
You know, it's one of those... I mean, I still have it in me. You know, if you wrung me out, there'd still be some Bible juice. You know what I mean?
So,
but long and the short of it is, I don't believe in past lives. I don't know why, and I don't come against people that do. I mean, that's cool. And I've had people read my star chart and say that, you know, I was a general in the last life and all this, and I'm like, a general in what? You know, maybe I was just general. Maybe I'm just a general guy. But with that being said, where are we going? In my thoughts, I really don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I have some ancient scriptures that are not King James Version that basically says the evil ones will be deleted. Is that, what does that mean? I don't even know what the English, I have no idea what that means. Deleted, does, you know, that's kind of strange. But as far as crossing over, I don't think it's about, death has been made to us by they and them so we could be just scared to death. That's why they use the death in that sentence, scared to death.
Yeah.
So what if death wasn't so scary? What if death was something that was like a celebration? We go to 4 years of college and we have a celebration of going through those 4 years of training. What if death was the gate of the party and the party of, you know, not getting boozed out and all this, but a celebration, a true celebration of why you went through the X amount of years you did. And all the people that have crossed over already are there welcoming you. They're all clapping because they've already had their celebration and everybody's having their celebration for something what they learn and they get to talk about it. And they get to, I don't know about being absorbed in God. I would struggle with that one only because God has made us kind of a separate, not fully separate. We're still one, but just being in absorbed in there like this was for nothing. My little brain can't function like that. It says, no, there was a bigger deal why God created you more than just schooling. What does that mean? I don't know. But it's I think it's going to be explained to us when we cross over. And the key is, it's like the Batman and Joker going at it. You know, Joker says, you have nothing, you know, to give me fear. And it's like, you know, you have nothing that fear I fear. So I'm thinking to myself, if we can get rid of the fear of dying itself, and realize that as soon as we die, this doesn't mean we go blow our brains out, but as soon as we die, we have a celebration and we get to know, K-N-O-W, we get to know what everything was all about. And that might be really a special thing and take away that cortisol that's being released in us in our chemicals of fear.
Well, something I like that you're doing is you're helping people with the products that you're making, you know, get that fear out of the body. Because as we raise the body's energy, our energy, then we will become healthier. So I definitely want to talk about your products. But before that, one thing, you mentioned AI. And that's a real, something I've been pondering for quite a while. As people call it artificial intelligence, but I also wonder, well, is it necessarily strictly digital or is AI organic, ultimately a living entity to some extent? Because like somebody I know referenced Virginia and the government there, you know, a change in government happens. And then of course, they're not listening to the will of the people. They're doing their own thing. And they're saying that, well, this is what you want because you elected us. And it seems like there's this complete unhinging between the will of the government and the people. And he was saying that, well, isn't that maybe just AI taking control of that situation? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Because it seems that AI exists in very nefarious ways, and it's very, very cunning. I mean, so I look at Virginia. I know people have many, many different, you know, political slants on things. And so without getting into the details of it, you know, the government seems to be unhinged from the people and doing things that are not good. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And people were saying, well, who elected them? Who actually voted? How do you know this even happened? Something is strange. You know what I mean? It's like they see this unhinged situation. And they go, I'm seeing people who've never pondered AI before going, I think there's something that is not human. There's something is controlling this, is manipulating this, because they're kind of sitting there, how did this happen? And they're looking, they're going, let me look at AI on the internet. Because
it's the Sith.
It's the Sith, yeah.
You know, I'm not an artificial intelligence guy. And I don't know all there is to know about this stuff.
I really don't.
I know I don't like it. And when I say I don't like it, you know, there's two things that we can go by when we have an opinion. We can go by what I would call the gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go by our beliefs. Our beliefs have to have information to become a belief. Our soul does not. Our soul can walk in and look at a guy or a girl and go, I like them. I don't like them.
Yes.
Okay. Our belief says, well, who is that guy? Oh, he just starred in the last Tom Cruise movie. Oh, and he's going to get me a part. Oh, yeah, I like that guy. Okay. Or, oh, he just robbed a bank. Oh, I don't like that guy. Beliefs have to have information. Soul does not. So my soul doesn't like artificial intelligence. My soul doesn't like when the government is watching every move and invading us in every way, shape, and form. I don't like that we killed 10,000 camels in Australia because of a drought. My soul cried out for this. I don't like enclosures in you know, zoos.
Mm-mm.
So there's a lot of good people taking care of animals, but you know, again, unless you're going to live in the cage with them, you know, it's not fun. The animal can love you, but not really, because you still got them in a cage. So, you know, I try to go by my soul, and unfortunately for a very long time, I went by my beliefs. Mm. And I hurt a lot of people. I brought trauma on people because of my belief systems. You know, I don't try to push my thoughts and my beliefs now on people. I just go, this is where I'm at. And if somebody likes artificial intelligence, I'm not going to go in an argument with them. I'm going to say, you know, that's cool. I don't know all there is to know about it anyway. But my soul, if I grab my hand and I put it on my stomach, on my intestines, guess what? It says, not good. You know, it's like a little meter. Doo, doo, doo. You know, okay, that's no good, you know. And this goes, if we obey this, this goes far more than what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this goes far more so, like, you get in the car and you just have an oots, like you're not supposed to go anywhere. You have no clue why. Your belief system says, I got to go to work. I got this, this, and this to do, or I have this errand to do. But your soul goes, you're not supposed to go. And you literally, you don't go. And then you find out there's a car wreck in the exact path that you were going to go. And that could have been you. So we need to obey these things. And if we obeyed this much more than we are, we would be more of a Jedi. We would be more in the know. And that's the key, is to be in the know, not in the belief.
Yeah, it comes down to obeying your signal.
You know, this goes back to health too. Health is not about a belief system. Health is about a knowing. So when you grab a product and you just somehow, you know it, and people literally, they'll muscle test. So they'll take a product and they'll put it up against their heart. And then if they go back, they go, nope, it's no good. If they go forward, they go, oh yeah, this is a good product. So they muscle test the products, which, you know, sometimes I go, whoa, that's kind of funny. Ha ha ha. But then again, I go, well, maybe that's cool. And it's funny because I've watched in different places, my stuff get muscle tested and it always passes. So I go, well, that's good. Whether it's intent, the product, or all the above, I don't know. But long and the short of it is, we need to be led by our soul and we're not led by our knowing, our belief systems.
We do have that GPS system that you speak of, and we do have our soul, and what you're saying is very, very true. And I think that one of the things that helps us get in touch with that is our health, is our bodies rocking, you know, is when we're working on, you know, our body, mind, and spirit, and we're working on those as in totality, and we're raising our energy. And so I think the healthier, happier, and wiser we are as we are humbly working towards wisdom, then that connection gets much stronger. So, I would really invite people to try that. You know, how does your soul feel about something? Because I think humans have a built-in GPS, of course. We also have a built-in truth detector, truth versus falsehood. We feel it. And so if you want to know something is true, let's say you're hearing some diabolical, horrible, demonic evil on the mainstream media, which is all there is, okay? This is an easy one. Turn on CNN for a second.
There you go.
Right? And then turn it off. And then feel, how did that feel? If you're barfing, well, then you're in tune, right?
Right.
If you have to ponder, okay, is that good or bad? Okay, keep working on it. Maybe do a cleanse, go meditate. So your products, you have an amazing company. And it is, your website, getthetea.com. And you're putting out amazing stuff. So I'm curious, how did you go from, you know, being a man of the cloth, you know, to being a Jedi, you know, and now you have an amazing little race car. I do believe the get the tea dot car, that get the T.com car is really cool. Like that's real. That actually exists.
Yeah, it's a race car, off-road racing. We just won first at Parker, Arizona, just this last 2 weeks ago. So we're winning races. It's kind of fun. And everybody's like, well, get the T that makes you go. So it's fun.
And so how did you come to, get a race car? And then also now your company. And so how did you get there from where you were? And tell us about some of the cool products that you've got. I mean, because I have to admit, I have not tried any yet. I'm new to you and also to your products, but it's on the list. I got to go get some of those. So how'd you get there? And tell us about some of the cool stuff. Also, I'm a big colostrum fan. I know some of your products, at least one has that in there. So I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah. Colostrum is, wow. We could spend a whole show on colostrum. So,
yeah,
but, that's kind of okay. There's probably about four or five facets to that question. So I'll start.
I know. Off. Sorry about that.
You're fine. Man of the cloth. So, man of the cloth went to radio. I got sick. I don't know if it was all the bad information that I would investigate. I don't know if it was just, traumas as a child, who knows, don't really want to use the blame game, but got sick. And, started, I had somebody on my show and they said, you might want to try this tea. And so I got working with this doctor and coming together with this tea and split away from him and ended up making my own tea. And with that, it's all a digestive cleanse. We, America's number one digestive aid. And when you take care of your gut, you take care of a lot of issues. People don't realize their eyes are going bad because of bacteria from their gut. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that their brain can be messed up from their gut. They don't realize that so many things come from the gut. And isn't that interesting that if we need to make a really incredible decision without understanding or having the information, it mm-hmm. comes from our gut. So you might really want to clean the gut if you want to, people. And here's an interesting thing too, so I have this very successful company, a couple of them. I have a CBD company and I have a tea company. And, the companies become very successful. Obviously it has great products, but I was 80% of my life. I was so poor. I couldn't even pay attention. I mean, just incredibly. So it's all, again, I can't stress enough. It's how you think. It's getting rid of the old, forgiving, forgetting, and getting into the new. So even in the midst of being sick, I said, if I'm sick and this helps me, I wonder if I took this to another level and I made this available to people and would it help them? I get email after email after email every single day talking about the tea. Oh my God, this has done this for me. It's done that. And I can't share all that because the suits get me, but basically it's done so much good. Because it's a digestive cleanse. It goes into your gut, cleans out all the garbage. It gets rid of all the chemicals, all the yuck. And when you get rid of the yuck, you can think clear. You have more energy. You live better. You go to the bathroom better. People go, oh, I don't like the tea because it made me go to the bathroom. And I'm like, well, you want to go to the bathroom. Get in that bathroom. Do it, man. Because when you do that, you're getting rid of yuck. And you want to get rid of yuck because that makes you feel good. So, and with that, I've targeted some stuff that, people have, and I'm trying to be careful with my words, but I target certain issues that are going on in intruders going on in the body. And that's kind of has built the company because my products work. They can actually try them and they go, oh my God, they work. So nothing worse than spending X amount of dollars. You get a product and it doesn't do anything, that's kind of like, oh. Really?
Oh yeah.
So I want to make sure my products work. And then the race car is not my car. I sponsor the car. Mm. It actually is Kevin McMullen's car, and which he's no relation, but he's like a brother. So it's kind of weird. But he carries the same last name as I do, and his son Connor is our driver. He's 19 years old. Mm. He already won last year Best in the Desert, number one place. I mean, he is definitely. He's a contender, so he's really an awesome racer. And, I'm excited. It's kind of funny because our product is really going forward. People are starting to really know our product. It's becoming in the forefront. And here is our race car in the forefront. It's winning races. So it all kind of goes together. And don't always remember we need to have happiness in the midst of everything too, because when we have gratefulness and happiness, things go a lot further than they do when we're bummed out of our mind.
And it's definitely a training. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah, a lot of people have to literally learn how to be happy. You know, I mean, there's many people who really have never quite had that emotional clarity, that happiness, and a lot of that can come from, in part, I know it's all energy, it's all connected, but I mean, from an unhealthy gut and an unhealthy body. I mean, oftentimes a huge part of a person's depression is, well, they don't like their body. They go, I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it feels. It's not fun to be in. And I'm always tired. And so
system's not running right.
Yeah. It's really a place people have to start. And it's a nice thing. It's because it's something people can actually do, you know, as you get healthier, whatever your regimen is, you're going to start to, I mean, that's, I think sometimes, you know, an illness, I'm sure you've heard this so many times from people, but an illness is the beginning of their real spiritual path. Their real path in life started when they got some illness that they had to, well, I'm not going to cure it this way, or I can't. So how do I, this whole amazing path opens up really, you know, back to God, back to themselves, you know?
Yeah, they do find God. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. So the person's illness was a perfect prescription, you know, from the spirit to return to itself.
Correct.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I mean, I've asked you a bunch of stuff. I don't want to keep you forever. I mean, I thank you for your time. I mean, hopefully we'll have you on again sometime as things evolve. I mean, I definitely want to recommend people go to, you know, getthetea.com. And let's say somebody, they just want to check out your stuff. What would be a good thing to get? Basically what you call get the tea, and then what's in it, you know?
Life Change Tea's got probably 10 herbs in there. And all the herbs, I mean, I could go into it, but it's like protect yourself from GI intruders, aids in overall digestive health, helps break down food from maximum absorption, helps support healthy bowel movements, boosts your immune system, promotes healthy metabolism, aids in allergy relief, and I could go on and on and on. You have 10, and they're all synergistic too. So it's kind of a powerful punch. Now, people say, you know, it's $35 for a month's supply. That'll make you 4 gallons. And you drink it cold, you brew it up, and it tastes great. It's, you know, like sometimes when you get something good for your body, it tastes like arsenic. Mm-hmm. We're lucky. We have a good tea. It tastes good. In fact, if you want a flavor to it, you can get a pomegranate. And pomegranate, I mean, it's off the charts good. It really tastes good. It's got a little bit of stevia in it. So just a little bit of a sweeter tea, but our super tea, there's no sweetness in it at all. And it's not bitter like a black tea. It's very good. And you'll be surprised. It'll work your bowels, baby. You betcha, you will be in the bathroom. So, you know, and sometimes I will get an email and they'll go, you know, I tried your tea and it didn't work. And I go, okay, so we'll email them back and say, how long you been on the tea? Well, I drank it once.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, well, you got to drink it more than once. Sometimes people takes 3 to 5 days. Sometimes the first drink, they're like, whoa, baby. So, and it's not something that you have to be near the bathroom all the time. It is a gentle cleanse. So when you get into it, you'll see the difference and it will give you more energy and a lot of other things too. We always like an email to say what it did for you.
Yeah. And the gut definitely, it is coming to the forefront. People, I think, are starting to understand. I mean, last few years, I hear about it more and more. People, the awareness is raising that, you know, we, you know, our greatest energy center in the body is the heart, and that, you know, that's also part of our perception. We perceive from there, not just these senses up here. Yeah. And of course, also that our brain and our gut are literally one, you know. Yes. And so for heaven's sakes, I'm going to try it, you know, and I'll report back, and I definitely recommend others do. And well, it's been great talking to you today. Any final closing thoughts?
No, just, you know, go out there and be, you know, don't try so hard. You know, some people, they try so hard to be the Jedi. They try so hard to be a good guy. They try so, let me tell you something. Stop trying so hard. You either are or you're not. Just be who you are. And you know what? That'll get you where you need to go.
Oh, I love it. All right.
You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.